Our first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Our second reading is from Luke 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There also was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So ends the reading.
Let's pray together. Good morning, Lord. We are your people, gathered in your house, inviting you to join us here this morning in this sanctuary, in our hearts, and in our minds. Be with us today. Hear our prayers, hear us sing your praises as we worship together. Amen. I subscribe to a podcast called Lectionary Lab, and it's two pastors, one's an Episcopal and one's a Lutheran, and they talk about that day's lectionary. I was listening to them this week, and they're both in the ministry 30 years or so, and they were talking about this passage, and they were saying that neither one of them could ever remember preaching that passage. And it is because they usually have that Sunday off. that passage is usually preached by a seminarian, by an associate pastor, by a retired pastor who's asked to come fill in, a lay leader. But they could not remember preaching those words. I can remember preaching those words pretty well because but this is who I am. This is the Sunday I preach. Our pastors, and Pastor Susan is a good example of someone who needs that time off, who needs to be away today. But these are words that we need to hear. Simeon and Anna needed to see the Christ child come in their sanctuary that day. We need to see that Christ child come into our lives. And above that, we need to see the adult Christ come into our lives. There's a big difference between loving that little baby and loving the Christ who asks quite a bit more from us than the baby. I've always liked these passages and have preached them several times. Someone was asking me, Jack, how do you decide on what to preach? And for me, the answer is, I don't decide. I let God decide. When I read this passage, there was one word that jumped out at me, and that was the favor of God. And it just kind of demanded that I talk about it. And it brought back memories from lectionary from not too long ago, earlier in Luke 26, it was the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And maybe it was the repetition of the favor from that lectionary reading and the reading that Kurt just read to us, saying the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Favor of God. The favor of God is upon you. The favor of God is something that we don't earn. We don't have coming. It's just given to us. It's been given to you. When you think about the word favor, the definition of it is a friendly regard shown toward another, especially by a superior. And God is certainly our superior, and he has granted us favor. He granted favor to Mary. I wonder if she felt favored when he came to her. I wonder if she felt favored as she carried that child and the people whispered, "Did you know that she wasn't married?" I wonder if she appreciated the favor that God had given her. You think back to Moses, who was also favored by God. And Moses was taken aside, told to do things that didn't make sense to the other people around them. I wonder if Moses appreciated the favor of God as the people whispered then too, "Moses, do you realize that guy's crazy? Look at, he's building that boat. What's he think he's doing?" Noah, yeah. Excuse me. But throughout the Bible, there are stories of people having the favor of God and having been thought different, been thought to have been crazy. How do you feel about the favor of God resting upon you? Do you think it does? I think it rests upon me. I think that sometimes I do things in life that people look at and wonder, why is he doing that? Why did he want to become a commissioned lay pastor? He's too old. But I don't think I really had a choice. I don't think that Noah had a choice. I don't think that Mary had a choice. I think that God picks us for his very own reasons, for whatever reason he picks us, because we're his children, because we love him, because we worship him, because we deserve his favor. He just gives it to us. And if we're smart, we take it and we do something with it. You think about when Jesus came and was looking for disciples. Who did he come looking for? He came looking for just regular people. And I look at that and wonder, why didn't he want the president of the Sanhedrin? Why didn't he want the chairman of the temple? He didn't. He wanted regular people. I've always thought of myself as being a regular person. I'm much more comfortable sitting here than sitting there because I'm a regular person. It's uncomfortable to not be a normal, regular person. When Christ comes back again, who do you think he'll be looking for? Who will he tap to work with him? You think he'll be looking for the Pope or a regular person? Do you think he'll be looking for Joel Osteen or a regular person? If we go by his track record, he'll be looking for you or you. He'll be looking for us regular people. The ones who don't have any reason to be special today. The ones who are just normal, everyday Christians. Kind. The ones that don't put on airs. The ones that aren't afraid to get on their knees. The ones that Jesus would call out of the tree, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house." He didn't try to stay at the home of the mayor. He stayed with Zacchaeus. He's going to stay with you. He's going to stay with me. Because we're regular folks. And he was too. So the favor of God has been put upon you. Sometimes it's pretty easy to favor. Sometimes it's pretty difficult. I know it's got to be pretty scary when that angel Gabriel came to Mary and said that the favor of God was upon you. Don't be confused. I'm not an angel. But I was sent here today by God to tell you that you are favored, to tell you that you are special in His eyes. You may not feel special in your own. You may live an ordinary life, have an ordinary job. But to Christ, you are special. The favor of the Lord rests upon you. Do not be afraid. Do not give up. Do not be weary. God has done the impossible. He has come to us as our Savior. He has been born of the Virgin's womb to suffer and die upon our cross. Too often we think of it as being His cross, but it's not. It's ours. He wasn't there for Himself. He was there for you. He was there for me. That is enough. It's enough to carry us through, to sustain us, to enable us to endure. And this we trust when nothing else is left. The favor of the Lord rests upon you. All that is left is to rejoice in faith's answer. Let it be to me as God has said, and it will be enough for today, for tomorrow, and for life eternal. The favor of God rests upon you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the favor. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for recognizing us ordinary, everyday, faithful Christians trying to live our lives as you would have us live. Slipping up along the way with a hurtful word, doing the wrong thing, ignoring a neighbor that needs our love. But still, you've given us your favor. You gave us your Son. You gave us everything, and we deserve nothing. It's nice to live in the favor of the Lord. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for making all of the difference in our lives. Allow us to share that belief, share that difference, and share the favor that you've shown us to those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.